Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We also meet on the second and fourth Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. for Bible study, prayer, and fellowship. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
If you were to summarize the master plan of the enemy, you would arrive at the conclusion that he will do anything he can to separate us from the love of God. If you look at Paul's account, he says, what can separate us from the love of God? Height, depth, you know, perils, all types of situations. And I'm really starting, it seems like at a very negative point, but I want to end at the point where God loves you so much that he's going to intercede in the worst of what you're going through. And it means this, that with all of the evil, tragedy, and injustice, and just plain sin in the world, we can easily come to the conclusion that God is absent, or at the very best, occasionally comes on the scene with random tokens of goodness that cannot be relied on. In other words, it's just, yeah, sometimes he does and sometimes he doesn't. And the greatest stronghold that must be destroyed is that which would hinder us from experiencing God's love and living in his power and authority that rules every area of our life. Here's the things I want to speak to. Number one, have you experienced tragedy in your life that brought you to the conclusion that God's love for you is random and unreliable? Because if God really loved me, why am I going through this? Or why did this happen to me? Why did I lose my child? Why did I go through a divorce? Why am I suffering from this affliction? If God really, really, really loves me. And I think this story speaks to that, but it's greater than that. There's a stronghold in us many times that we will undergo because we will allow it to take hold of us in a particular place where we just can't move from that particular place. Let me move on to number two and say this. Does the lack of experience of love and respect in your personal life prevent you from experiencing God's love in the body of Christ? Some people come to a church setting and they're very rigid and they don't want anyone to touch them. They don't want anyone to hug them. They don't want anyone to hardly say hi to them. They'll come here hoping that God will do something for them. But because of the rejection or because of the abandonment they've had, they find themselves robotically coming to a service and leaving as soon as they can and only just having a wisp of a touch of the love of God. What about this? Does the injustice or unwarranted harm that you have experienced hold your emotions hostage and prevent you from embracing God's love for you? Because it just isn't fair. If God really loved me, why did I go through this? And why won't the pain go away? Jesus can free you from heartache and disappointment. Somebody say amen. Amen. Because he can. And he will. And you know what? It's not going to be tomorrow. It's going to be today. You say, what? Today. Yeah. Verses 17 and 18 of chapter 9, they call out something that, you know, he says, this is what's happening. He says, the teacher, I brought him to your son because he has a mute spirit. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down and he foams at the mouth and he gnashes his teeth and he becomes rigid. I spoke to your disciples and they just couldn't do anything about it. I have no idea what your expectations are, but I've sat in your seat before. I wanted the pain of an abusive father to go away and it didn't throughout my whole upbringing. I mean, the times I would cry myself to sleep as a kid because I wanted my dad not to come home because he was so angry and he'd come in bitterness. He'd just do some really crazy stuff. And I don't want to get into that. It's not only make it about me, but I understand what it's like to some of you want to embrace you that doesn't ever embrace you. Never told me one time that he loved me. Not one time. Not one time. So I understand that. But let's get into this. The devil seeks to sow lies of rejection and insignificance in your spirit to move us away from God's presence and his truth. Ever had it happen to you? Say yes. Because he does this. But we're going to look at something. The stronghold of anger gives the devil a foothold and a license to keep us in bondage. Ephesians 4:26. Let's look at this. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Today, I want to give you not only a formula, but a release from the idea that you never have to spend another day full of anger, that you can allow God to cleanse you from anger for good about that situation. Because you think about it over and over again. And all someone has to do is say that one particular word and it triggers it, and it's like it happened right then. When the Bible says you can be angry, but you don't have to sin. You have to direct your anger at the real problem. The devil wants to destroy me through what they're doing, and I refuse to allow it anymore. Amen. Let me move on quickly. The stronghold of fear is one that will subject us to slavery of thoughts of bondage to the enemy with no possibility of freedom. 2 Timothy 1:7. You probably know it by heart. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. That spirit that hovers over you, that causes you not to even try. Because you've tried before and you failed, so the very grief of failure, you don't want to experience that anymore. So I'm just not going to try anymore. But God is going to change that today. Let me move on to the next aspect. The stronghold of worldliness will lead us back to activities that will bring death because of disobedience to the truth. Ephesians 2:1-2. This is a good one here. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world. Let me stop at that point. The world says it's okay. God says it's not. Who are you going to believe? You're only human. Everybody's doing it. There's no such thing as compromise. It's just fitting in. Times have changed. The culture says, the environment says, the community says, it's okay. Now, we're going to have a rough time here, well, for some folks right now, when marijuana is officially legalized, as if somebody were waiting for it to happen. Really?
Come on, man. Come on.
Some of you have been buying under the radar. I'm going to leave it alone. But then all of a sudden you won't feel bad about having it as long as you have so many ounces. But you know what? It's not going to help you. Legalization of something is not going to help you when it takes you away from the truth of what God wants to do for you. Don't allow the culture to dictate to you freedom. God is the only one who can set you free. You say, I want something to take the pain away. Honey, it causes more pain and your wallet's a little lighter on top of it. I got to move on because I could get stuck at any one of these places. The bondage of violated conscience that will lead you and others into shipwreck. Violated conscience. 1 Timothy 1:18-19. This is one that'll get all of us. This charge I commit to you, my son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously concerned, that you, by them, you may wage the good warfare. Having faith and a good conscience, which some having rejected concerning the faith have suffered shipwreck. God has given every person here a conscience. And the day your conscience doesn't bother you, you're in big trouble. The conscience and the Holy Spirit are linked up. And anytime you tell the Holy Spirit to go away, I think I'm feeling condemnation. No, honey, that's conviction. See, you got the two confused. Because when grandma said it was wrong, and now all of a sudden your teacher says it's right, grandma was right. Your teacher's wrong. And shipwreck means that you were headed on a course, but all of a sudden the storms came up, and there was nothing to keep you on course, and you ran aground on the rocks, and you are shipwrecked. What your destination, you will never meet it. One more. Bondage of unforgiveness will lead us to all types of other issues. Here's the issues. Lack of love, inability to trust, abandonment, hypercritical judgment, and hard-hearted behavior. Boy, isn't that a formula? Don't feel very good, does it? But when you live in it, you become used to it. I'm just not judgmental. I'm particular. I'm not hard-hearted. I just like things my own way. I'm an independent thinker. Really? I don't think so. 2 Corinthians 2, verses 10 through 12. Now whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ. Let me stop right there. There's people that you need to forgive for the sake of other folks. Really? He said, how can you forgive her? She took this, she took your husband, she took, you know, forgive her. That's the best thing you can do. You talk about turn conviction over on folks, just forgive them when they know they don't deserve it.
Yeah. Come on, Pastor.
See, they expect you to be bitter. They expect you to retaliate. They expect you to do things against them. But when you say, you know what? I'll turn that over to Jesus. I won't walk in that place anymore.
Right.
I forgive you. I let go. For you women who have husbands that are hard-headed, my wife taught me this. She says, bow in submission to Christ and give God a clear shot to take him out. He's got a clear shot. He don't have to worry about you being in the way. He just take him out. There's something about humility when we humble ourselves before Christ, and he will lift you up and the depression and such will go away. Well, let me move on. Satan uses the world system to influence the sin nature in us by tempting us to act with impulses. I know none of you are impulsive. You did all the research on your car before you bought it. I don't hear nothing out there. It was red, it was fast, and I wanted it. That was a Pontiac I bought one time. I only kept it 3 months because I'd be in jail if I kept it any longer. Because it had that motor in there. Ooh, you know, one of them quads. Oh, Jesus. Then like a knucklehead, I turned it into a GTO with tri-power. The devil was still working with me. It was an impulse. It's like, see, I've been saved all my life, but I got victory. Took me a few years, took college years for me to come through. But anyway. We will be disobedient to God, his truth, his character, and his command. We will become self-indulgent, self-protective, and self-promoting. Sound like anybody you know? It's you. Look in the mirror and say, that would be me. Because I'm not that type of person. In your own eyes, you're not. But we must choose to willingly obey the new nature of Christ that lives within us. Now, we must recognize our value to God and live according to his word, which simply means this. The value of something is determined by what someone is willing to pay for it. I don't know about some of those auctions they have in New York over for paintings and this type of thing. You know, for Picassos and different type of people who throw paint at canvases and get millions of dollars for it. And I never could figure out, I said, that is fair ID ugly. It has no symmetry to it whatsoever. And people say, oh, and I don't remember what the particular amount was paid for one particular picture. But it was in the millions of dollars. And what determines the value of it is how much you're willing to pay. You say, I wouldn't give you $10 for it. And if everybody agreed they wouldn't give you $10, you would not get your millions of dollars. That's how it works. But we create in our mind, and we give value to certain things, and it many times it's without reason. And we can try to justify it with various art critics and say, well, it's just the explosive value of the mind to create with colors and the collision of various of things as they're put together and the symmetrical design, and they go on and on. I'm thinking, really? Norman Rockwell does it for me, okay? I'll get a lithograph, hang it in my wall, and I'm good, okay? But people will, that's how value is determined. Our value and worth has already been determined by Christ and the price that he paid for us on the cross. You know you are worth Jesus dying on the cross. That's your value right now. Nothing will ever exceed that value. Which simply means this, that we must not allow the devil to put us in the position that will make us feel like we are a fire sale. Bargain basement discount. Coupons. No, I'll go for a sale. Hey, that's me. I will find a sale. I've got no problem with that. But the devil, when he's trying to put you on wholesale, a closeout, a bankruptcy, a going out of business sale. And sometimes we feel the urgency that the devil will draw us into that particular place where we will cause ourselves to go up for sale because we feel like we're just, nobody really wants us. Highest bidder. Our value has been determined by God. He paid the ultimate price for us. Romans 5:8, here we go. Romans 5:8 tells us, but God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Can I paint you a picture of what that looks like? You may be sitting here today still in your sin, still committed to do sin when you leave here and have sins on your schedule for next week, scheduled sins. Oh, yeah. You got it. Friday night is already decided. And who are you going to be with next weekend? You already made reservations at the coast. I know what you're doing. Hello? But God is about to interrupt your program. When you realize how much Jesus died for you, you will cancel that reservation. You'll come to Jesus and you'll enjoy a new life. That's what'll happen. Because here's the deal. God loves you personally, not just corporately. Well, God so loved the world. Yeah, I guess I'm one of those specks on the world and God loves me. No, it goes like this. God loves you with the same quality of love that he loved Jesus. Digest that. With the same quality of love that he loves Jesus? Wait a minute. What about the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus says to his Father, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. And then Jesus inserts something of submission to his Father. He says, but not as I will, as you will. I want to tell you something about God's love for us being so incredible, immeasurable, that we can come to a place today of understanding that he does amazing things in and through us and for us. But Satan does not want you to know the value or the depth of God's love for you. That's his thing. Did we get Ephesians 3:18 through 20? I don't know. It isn't highlighted, so maybe it's not up there. I don't know. Because it isn't highlighted on my notes. You probably don't have that. But it doesn't matter. I'll go on to the next place. God is often working in the background, behind the scenes, while we are experiencing what we believe to be the worst thing that could ever happen to us. Let me read this little portion of scripture. Genesis 45, 5 through 8. And I'll explain it to you. But now, do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. Next verse. For these 2 years the famine has been in the land, there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. And God sent me before you to preserve posterity for you in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. And then verse 8 says this. Leave it on there for verse 8. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh, and the Lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Let me tell you who said that. A young man who was sold into slavery by his brothers, who was thrown into a ditch where they left him there for dead, and they were hoping that he would die, and somehow God got him out of the ditch. Some of you are in a ditch today of circumstances, and you feel abandoned, and you feel lonely, and you see, how can God make anything out of here? But I rest to say to you, that is not, it's not over, it's not finished. If God is in it, when God's in it, all things are new. It's not over. Because I can just imagine as Joseph gets thrown in there, and I can't tell you the whole story, but I will tell you this much, that he's in there because his brothers hated him. And some of you grew up in a hateful household, or you grew up with parents who just really didn't identify with you. But I want you to know God had a plan. The worst day of David, of Joseph's life, was when he was waiting to die in the pit. But you know what? It never happened. It never happened. I want you to dust yourself off today. If you're in the pit right now, dust yourself off, because you say, my help is coming. I may not see it. I may not feel it, but God is going to send some help to me today. And so he's sitting there, and then all of a sudden, this little ladder comes down there, and somebody gets him out of the pit. He didn't expect to get out of there. But over the period of years that follow, he goes through a lot of different stuff. The next thing you find out that Joseph, being unjustly sold into slavery, seemed as though he was going to be a slave all of his life. So you got out of this one situation, and now you feel like you're a slave to the man, whoever that might be. Would you take a different perspective on what God is doing? Is that God has you in a process, and he's working things out, but then it gets, he gets a little prosperity there and this type of thing. You know, he's got skills, talents, and he finds himself promoted, but then it comes to another time in his life that he's falsely accused for taking a righteous stand, and it appeared that his rise to power was over, and he's thrown in jail for something he didn't do. I got a word for you. Don't ever quit. Do not allow bitterness to enter into your heart, because it will circumvent what God is about to do in your life today. Remove the bitterness and just cry out to God, because he's going to do it. Well, here we go. God will often demonstrate his love to us through tragedy and pain. You know, back into Mark chapter 9, verses 21 through 22, this is really interesting. So he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. Some of you sitting in this room today have been going through the same stuff since you were a kid. You were marked early in life. You were teased, you were taunted. You told you weren't bright enough, you weren't good enough, you weren't pretty enough, or whatever it was. And you've had this all of your life. And so the issue about it is, and so this man, when he says, well, how long did this happen? And so he says, and often he throws him both into the fire, into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. If you can do anything. God's about to do something big, more than just anything. He's about to just turn your perspective a little different here. And he says, and Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him. And this is the part that where some of us are sitting right now. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears. Can I tap into your emotions for a moment? It's okay. It's okay to be emotional when you're at a place where you really don't know what to do. And he says, Lord, I believe. But if I put it in common vernacular, he'd say it like this. But I can't find the strength to believe enough. And so I've already figured out that I guess nothing will really happen. That really makes me sad. Because if you're looking for me to believe, all I know is every year of my son's life, I see this kid thrashing around on the floor. I see him being tormented. I see him foaming at the mouth. And that picture is so locked in my mind, I can never imagine him being free from that. The unbelief overrides the belief. Now, I want to stop with you for a moment. Be honest with me, be honest with God. Does the unbelief override the belief? That's not a condemnation statement. Now, most of us would say, well, fine, if you don't believe what I'm saying, I'm out of here. Until you can get up to that particular level of belief, nothing's going to happen for you. You can stay in the condition. Your son can stay in the condition. He can just convulse, do whatever, all he wants to do, or all that he's going to do. And Jesus, when Jesus saw the people, came running, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to the spirit, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you to come out of him and enter him no more. Where you sit right now, you need to say, God, I believe, but there's a part of me that doesn't believe. Would you help me anyway? He will. He wasn't looking to the crowd. He wasn't looking to anyone else. He speaks directly to the problem and says, deaf and dumb spirit, you've harassed this boy. You've harassed his father long enough. Get out of here. And I believe that God's going to speak to your situation. You know what? You've gone through it long enough. All that God wants you to do is admit that you don't have what it takes, because Jesus has got everything you need. He's got everything you need. And so what's powerful about this is that the spirit comes out, and here's the part that's so spirit cries out and causes him to convulse one more time. Isn't that like the devil? And then making his last stand. But he became as somebody who was dead, and then they pronounce judgment on the whole situation. The boy's just laying there and said, don't you love this? They're encouragers. Oh, he's dead. Huh? Jesus let my boy die? Sometimes when God works miracles, man's readout on what happened is different than what God actually did. And they'll try to talk you out of the faith that God gave you at that particular point, on the little part that says, my unbelief. And Jesus cast the devil out. And some of you are looking at what you see with your eyes. But watch what happens here. This is what I love it. I love it. And Jesus took him by the hand. God is going to take you by the hand in your deadness and lift you up to where you belong in him. You may be lying on the floor, but he's going to pick you up out of your circumstances and show you alive. Somebody shout, because that's what's going to happen. Wow! We must desire to experience the reality of God's love for us, living in the fullness of his power, which means love is often fully revealed when we go through something painful and we discover the unwavering of love of someone close to us. You've been through some painful things, but God is going to show his love toward you, even though you went through some tough stuff. Someone will come to you and they'll put their arm around you and says, you may be going through something tough, but I'm standing here with you. The Holy Spirit's going to come alongside of you and say, you know what? It may seem rough, but I'll never leave you or forsake you. That's what God's commandment is, of what he said to you. And I want to let you know, you are not alone. He says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. God is going to do his work today. What does that mean? It means we must choose to experience God's love and power in the midst of what seems to be so painful. The nightmares won't go away. The thoughts won't go away. But Jesus will not leave you in the midst of all of that. Which means this. Love is the environment of God and his kingdom, and Satan's kingdom has the absence of love and is filled with these things. Listen to this. Deprivation, despair, abandonment, worthlessness, ruin, destruction, and I put one in here, premature death. Oh, you may have walked in here today, but your spirit's dead. We look into your eyes, and The soul part of you stopped living 5 years ago when mama died. Or when your husband died, or when your kid went away on drugs. You said, I just can't go through it anymore. So something happened inside of you, and you're kind of like a walking zombie in the body of Christ. But God wants to restore life to you so you can live again and be all that God said you're supposed to be. But here's what Jesus did. I just have a few minutes to tell you this. Jesus made the choice of entering into a man's pain and suffering. Jesus made a choice to enter into your pain and suffering today. By you coming, we worship God. We've done all the things we can do. But there's more to it than that. And let me show you what it looks like. We must be willing to move past our disappointment and go directly to Jesus. The man who came to Jesus, he says, you know what? I could stop at my disappointment. My disappointment is I took my son to your disciples and they couldn't help him. I got a word for you. Don't give up.
Right.
You may not have got it. It may not have happened yesterday. Today could be your day. Don't give up. So he had to move past the disappointment. He says, they said they could do this, but they couldn't do it. Jesus wants to make you meet you at the most disappointing place in your life. And allow his presence to take over. I feel it happening in my spirit right now for some folks that are here. Well, we must confront our painful experience by telling Jesus what the stronghold is on us or affecting someone we love. I want you to stop right now. Everybody, just stop right now. I want you to don't say anything out loud, but I want you to tell Jesus the stronghold is holding on to you right now. I want you to tell him. Don't tell me, tell him. And I want you to tell him at the same time, Jesus, today I believe I can be set free. I believe you love me enough that things are going to change. I believe I don't have to leave the same person that I came. I walked through these doors. I will leave here a different person. And the devil's trying to say, oh, that's nothing going to happen. Oh, it's just all this other. Oh, pastors are making. I got news for you. I'm serving notice, an eviction notice on the devil and all the stuff he's been playing with your mind that something's going to change today. Yeah. It's important for us to have the man share the details of the stronghold regarding the time frame of his bondage. And this, I want to tell you about this. Our faith must be willing to release all of what we know about the condition we face when we turn to Jesus. I want to tell you another part of us. You know, Jesus, I've submitted to that stronghold because it was out of fear. Or it was out of the fact of being lonely. Or it was out of the fact of, I felt like I was worthless anyway, so I could just stay in drugs, or I could stay in promiscuity, or I could stay in pornography, because that was my anesthetic that just kept me going. But I want to let you know that Jesus is greater than all that stuff, and Jesus can set you free so you can live like you've always wanted to live. You don't have to accept some substitute for what life has in the Spirit. It goes a little bit deeper than that. And so Jesus wanted the Father to know that the miracle he was about to receive was not bound to the past time of his suffering and pain. You may have gone through hell up till now, but heaven's about to invade your life. Jesus had compassion on us and our struggles all the time. Well, let me give you these last few little keys and I'm done for the day. Facing the real issue of bondage and how has it affected your life, that's number one. How has it affected your life? What would your life be like if Jesus set you free today? How free would you be? Would you be able to sleep better? Would you be able to love better? Would you be able to even be financially better off because all those addictions that you have that cost you money? See, living for the devil is not cheap. No, it's not.
Come on, Pastor.
No, it's not.
Come on.
If some of you gave to God how much you spent on liquor, we could pay the building off. I'm serious. Your drug money? Oh, honey. Hey, all the missionaries be happy. They could reach the world. I'm going to leave some of that other money alone because some of you ain't ready. But you know what I'm talking about. Buying love. See, that's a little hint. Jesus. Okay. Taking steps of faith that seem like a risk. Notice I say it's taking steps of faith. The man took a risk. It seems like a risk, but it's a step of faith. Number three, not becoming discouraged when the devil makes his last attempt to cause you to believe there is no hope. The devil will fight you to the very end. When Jesus commanded the spirit to come out, what does he call the boy to do? Convulse, the very last convulsion. And you may see the very last convulsion, oh, maybe nothing's happening. No, he'll just try anything to the very end. But you know, whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Don't look at what you see now. See what you see when you're walking through what God's doing. Honestly, number four, honestly admitting your fears of what you are asking Jesus to do may not happen. Oh, why'd you throw that in there? Help my unbelief. Number five, being willing to engage or take on the suffering of someone else's burden and bring it to Jesus. And number six, confessing all of the faith that we have in the Lord and admitting there is more that we need. I'll have to stop there. But I will tell you this, Mister, the devil doesn't want you to realize how deeply loved you are by God. As they make their way up here, let me read this last scripture for you. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 18 through 20. Ephesians 3, 18 through 20. That you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us. I don't know what you're thinking right now. It really doesn't matter to me. Whatever you're thinking, if it doesn't include the fact of God making a way for you, then the enemy has made inroads into your life that need to be eradicated. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Holy Spirit, you are free to do what we were just talking to God about a few moments ago. Lord, that one thing we kind of whispered to you, that nobody else heard us, you heard us. I want you to just be still before God right now, because he's speaking into your spirit right now. Words of comfort to relieve you from your fears. The word that comes to mind while your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, the word called sobriety. Not just from alcohol, not just from drugs, but sober thinking that you're not intoxicated by fear, doubt, or unbelief. While heads are bowed right now, I want to take you back to, if I need to your childhood, to where this whole thing began. The time where you felt so alone, the time where you felt so abandoned, the time where you felt that no one really cared. The time that you called yourself, that you cried yourself to sleep. The time that you were harassed and bullied and intimidated. Somehow it cast a darkness over you that has never left. Then let me fast forward to your adult life now that you're a family man, or you lost your family. You're a mom, but you don't really know how to manage your kids, so you're just barely struggling, and somehow the bondage of fear says you're not going to make it hangs over your head every day, and you're doing everything you can. You're saying, Jesus, I need you to help me. I came here today. Would you love me enough to cast this demon out of my life? With every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm speaking to people today that came here for the express purpose that the Holy Spirit brought you here to set you free. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the one who walked this earth, who went about doing good, who set people free from demonic influence, who restored people's life, who restored their health. In his name that's above every other name, I speak hope, I speak deliverance, I speak healing, I speak salvation to people. people like that. God loves you so much. Not only did he give Jesus, but he sent the Holy Spirit to bring about conviction of sin and a renewal of hope that you can be the person you've always wanted to be. The only thing you need to do today is to admit you need him and entrust yourself to him. Jesus, would you take away the fear of men and women who walk through these doors today and allow them to leave here totally healed, totally restored, totally delivered.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.